When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gaelnarfon, ewch i weddi o'r rhen, a dyma eilin y Cymru bos, a dyma arwr y dre. I dre Gaelnarfon, heb yn roi, gyfeillion dewch yn llir, i weld coroni mab y cwyn, yn dwysor Cymru gyr. A diolch te am ar gwyl, siai fy nwes ddewr ar dan. O serch angerddo ato ni, tre golion gwlad y gan.
O naw de,
y dewch i gyd i Gaernarfon, y dewch i weidd i hwre.
Songs of protest are common in Wales just now. Firstly, because the Welsh are a singing people anyhow, and secondly, because for some years past, they've also been a protesting people. Not for nothing is the red dragon the symbol of Welsh nationality, and the forked tongue of the dragon the badge of the most vocal protesters, the Welsh Language Society. Dafydd Iwan, whom we've just heard, is a leading member of the Language Society, a folk singer and architect who has been fined and imprisoned for his part in the Welsh language campaign, but whose protest songs, needless to say, have suffered no loss of popularity as a result. His satirical welcome to Caernarfon in the heart of Welsh-speaking North Wales for the investiture of Prince Charles as Prince of Wales 3 years ago is doubly significant, because it emphasises what most people in Ireland would recognise, that the struggle for the language is closely linked to the struggle for nationhood, independence and individuality. It must be said, however, at the same time, that not all Welsh speakers, much less the majority of non-Welsh speakers, see the question in that light. Caernarfon, famous of course for its castle, is one of the oldest towns in Wales and one of the most Welsh in character. It was among the places we visited ourselves a couple of weeks ago when the Celtic Congress was held in Bangor, about 9 miles away at the northeastern end of the Menai Strait. Bangor is also a very ancient town going back to the 6th century. Today a centre of learning, and very conscious of its Welshness too. In spite of an influx of visitors, plenty of Welsh is to be heard spoken in the streets, and there are many signs and notices in Welsh in shops and public buildings. Coming from Ireland and landing at Caergobbe or Holyhead, it's appropriate that the first Welsh home we visited there should be in Anglesey, an island of rich plains and herds of cattle and sheep, but nowadays featuring some large factories which pollute the beautiful countryside around. Owen Hughes is a Welsh-speaking farmer and county councillor, owning about 60 acres at Bryn Teg. Taking example from our own Bord na Mona, he is engaged these days in producing peat moss for gardening. He told us how Inis Mon stands as regards the Welsh language.
I think Anglesey as a whole is about 65 to 70% Welsh-speaking now. 10 years ago, it was 80% Welsh-speaking.
Why has it deteriorated so much in those years?
The influx of English people into the county, and the introduction of heavy industries, the technicians, those, of course, all those people from outside, and English-speaking.
And there have been a lot of those people coming in, have there, in the recent years?
Oh, yes, yes. People retiring here, you see. People who hadn't been here on holiday before and retired here.
That would be mostly in the seaside resorts,
yes,
would it?
Mostly in the seaside resorts, yes.
Do many of them learn Welsh, the people who
yes,
come in like
yes,
that?
Yes, quite a lot of them do, yes. And I think that they're so happy in their new surroundings, and they associate that happiness with the Welsh life, and they make quite a good effort to learn it.
So that generally Welsh is the spoken language all around.
Yes.
Even in the towns.
Yes, especially in winter time, because now in the summer we get thousands of tourists in, of course, And in the shops, there's a lot of English spoken in the summer. But once September comes, you'll find all slide back to Welsh again.
Well, what's your own market town?
Llangefni.
And it's Welsh-speaking?
Yes, that's at least 60% Welsh-speaking, I should say. Although there are quite a lot of industries, small industries come there.
And when you go to the market, you speak Welsh
The
shops?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
You can do all your business?
Oh, yes, I can do all my business in Welsh, yes.
As with Irish in Ireland, the whole question of preserving the Welsh language is closely linked with the educational system. But unlike Ireland, teaching policy varies widely from county to county. It's reckoned that there are about 656,000 Welsh speakers in Wales, 26% of the population. But of the 483,000 children attending the maintained schools, only 2% are being taught mainly in Welsh. In the Welsh-speaking areas, however, the percentage is much higher. In some areas like Glamorgan, children have to learn Welsh until they are 11, up to 14 sometimes, depending on the school attended. In Anglesey and Carnarvonshire, Welsh is compulsory from 5 to 13. Owen Hughes seems reasonably happy about the schools in his area.
The primary schools are quite good. Now, most of the instruction is through medium of Welsh. Now, except one or two spots. Now, the seaside towns, like Bentley here, for instance, well, there's a language problem developing here now, because it's about half and half English and Welsh, the number of children. And at Tycroes, Caergeiliog, near Valley, where the air station personnel children go, you see. That school's become anglicised, naturally. Of course, you can't expect those people, they're only there for a short time, you can't expect them to learn Welsh, expect. They come and go, you see.
And you feel that people nowadays are more interested in the utilitarian aspects of
language? I think, is the course of the deterioration, because, you see, people got entirely the wrong idea about education today. And it's the utilitarian aspect and getting on in the world. And, of course, all this stress on technical instruction and science instead of the arts. And
you feel that's a bad thing?
I think that's the basis of the deterioration, yes. And
well, after all, now, as you say yourself, this is an area that's developing and you have all these industries coming in. Do you not think that people can carry on with this work and develop speaking Welsh just the same?
Well, a certain amount can, yes. But you see, it's the high-ups in these industries. They're the ones, you see. And, of course, they're the wealthy ones, you see. And the Welsh people are inclined to sort of adopt their standards.
Fel y mwyafrif o Gymru Cymraeg, mi ges i'n addysg mewn ysgol Saesneg. Pan oeddwn i ryw flwydd neu ddwy yn iau a minnau'n y fachgen y bochgoch bach difau mi awn i'r ysgol fel bob bachgen bach da drwy niwl a glaw boed ea neu boed ha ond yn yr ysgol mi ges lessons history lessons geography lessons English o hyd ac o hyd ac am
The anomaly of the situation where a child comes from a Welsh-speaking home, plays and prays in Welsh, but gets a schooling through English, is the theme of Dafydd Iwan's Chan yr Ysgol. Irish people will recall that it was only after the foundation of the Irish Free State that school subjects were taught through Irish. Even in the Gaeltacht, Irish was used only to explain English. A somewhat similar situation existed in the state schools in Wales, as Dr. Jack L. Williams of University College Aberystwyth told us.
Well, there was a time when the education was mainly through the medium of the Sunday school, and that was through the medium of Welsh. But when the state system was developed, it was entirely through the medium of English. Even when my father was in school, he wasn't allowed to speak Welsh in school officially. Children couldn't be prevented from speaking Welsh, of course, but there was an attempt made to stop them from speaking Welsh, even in the playground in those days. And it is only at the beginning of this century that Welsh began to gain a place in the educational system. During the first quarter of this century, the principle that very young children, the infants, should be taught through the medium of the mother tongue was adopted. And so the use of Welsh for education up to the age of seven or so developed during the first quarter of the century. Then during the second quarter, this spread upwards, and we saw developing primary education through the medium of Welsh. And it's only very recently that this has spread into the secondary field. Even now, there are very few schools teaching any subjects through the medium of Welsh at secondary level. But that is spreading, and during this year, we hope that two or three more schools will be established, secondary school teaching through the medium of Welsh. And alongside this, there have been developments in training colleges and also a little in the university. The whole movement for the use of Welsh in education has been spreading upwards, but very, very gradually, and there is still quite a long way to go.
Well, in the nursery schools now, there has been a big improvement there, hasn't there?
Well, this has brought in a new principle, really. In the early days, we used to argue for education through the medium of the mother tongue when the population in general was well-speaking. By now, we tend to do something that is entirely different. We now believe that the only effective method of re-establishing the language is by teaching very young children through the medium of Welsh instead of through the medium of their mother tongue, which is English. This movement has been spreading, not as rapidly as one would expect, but we have seen evidence of success, and I think already we can say that there are more people in, well, young people, particularly in Wales today, who have learnt Welsh through the medium of nursery education than through any other method of presenting Welsh as a second language. This is a growing movement.
Where does the demand mostly come from? Is it from the towns or country areas or where?
It's spreading all over Wales. A movement, the Welsh medium nursery school movement, was established a year ago, and we now have over 100 Welsh medium nursery schools. They are spreading slowly, mainly in the industrial areas. At the moment, they tend to be among the middle classes. But if this movement were to spread, there's no reason at all why the Welsh language should not be revived. Then alongside this movement, we have at the moment quite a flourishing adult learning movement as well. So that
that's the thing I was going to ask you. Are there many people whose home language, normal language, is English who want to learn Welsh? Adults?
Yes, this is growing. If we look back to the beginning of this century, we would then see a very large number of Welsh-speaking pupils who had no faith in the language. They didn't want to develop it, didn't want to keep it up. Then they become parents. They don't pass the language on to their children. But by today, this is exceptional. Very few Welsh-speaking people today who do not wish their children to have a knowledge of Welsh. And there are very many, a growing number, English-speaking parents too who wish their children to have this language. It does reflect a new confidence.
Since 1968, there has been a bilingual education project in operation in Wales, which aims at giving children from English-speaking homes a chance to learn through the two languages. Cardiff would be regarded as a fairly anglicised city, and bringing up a Welsh-speaking family there would present similar problems to raising an Irish-speaking family in Dublin. Mrs. Alwyn Jones, whose late husband, Mr. J.E. Jones, was secretary of the Welsh Nationalist Party, told us of some of the difficulties.
Well, for instance, in the home, you have to be very firm about speaking Welsh. And so our language was a natural language, the Welsh language.
And your husband was a Welsh speaker, of course, too.
Oh, my husband was a very ardent Welshman, and naturally he was very firm on this point. Of the children.
He died, unfortunately, recently.
Yes, two years back.
2 years ago.
Yes.
Well, what were the big problems in a city like Cardiff
Well, you see, the atmosphere in the immediate neighbourhood would be English, completely anglicised. But we were very fortunate in having the Welsh school, the Welsh primary school at that time, and so they received their education through the medium of Welsh.
Was that far from you?
Oh, quite a distance, yes. And at the beginning, that was the beginning of the Welsh school when my children entered there. My daughter was one of the first 18 who went to the Welsh school. Now that school is approximately 400, has 400 pupils. But it was a very small group to start with, only 18 pupils.
How many schools like that are there in Cardiff at the moment?
Oh, just the one Welsh primary school, but we're fortunate also we have established nursery schools, which are completely voluntary. I happen to be the first secretary of the nursery school, and now we have 6 nursery schools in Cardiff, and they enter at the age of about 2.5 to 3, and so they have become accustomed to being in Welsh groups before entering the primary school.
Are there great problems of transport, though, or are they spread well over the city?
Oh, there is the problem of transport. For the nursery schools, the parents themselves are responsible, Parents Association. But for the primary school, the education authority undertakes the expense. But now, at the moment, there is trouble arising over the education authority taking on the expense of the transport. And now the parents are faced with a very great problem, because it will be very expensive for parents who are sending perhaps 3 children to the primary school.
All Celtic peoples know what it is like to leave the homeland and to seek a living elsewhere. In a city like Birmingham, for example, you'll find people from the islands of Connemara or from the valleys of Wales surrounded by thousands of English speakers, and yet many of them manage to maintain their national identity and practice a genuine bilingualism. Delwyn Phillips is a Welsh businessman who lives in Birmingham, but who remains very much rooted in Wales. He's vice president of the Welsh branch of the Celtic Congress, and his son, though born in Birmingham, is a Welsh speaker like himself. How is this Welshness maintained and fostered in what would seem to be an unfavourable environment?
Well, there are plenty of Welsh societies, and there are many Welsh churches which conduct all their services through the medium of the Welsh language. Attached to these churches, there are various cultural activities, and through the medium of the Sunday school, the Welsh language is fostered, and it is kept alive by these many activities. It's possible in Birmingham even to have all your social life through the medium of the Welsh language.
And it's also possible to bring up your family Welsh-speaking, as you have done, but I'd imagine that there are quite a few people who don't manage that.
No. There are great difficulties in the way, because they go to an English school. In my case, I was fortunate enough to send my son back to Wales to have a Welsh education. But in most cases, at present, the children have very little grasp of the language. That's the tragedy of the situation.
You must send them back to Wales for education if you want to ensure that they will grow up Welsh-speaking.
In the old days, the Welsh, like most immigrant communities, lived in a kind of ghetto, and near their places of worship, and the community would be a very closely knit one. It was possible in those days to keep the language alive in a place like Birmingham, but it is no longer possible because people are spread broadcast throughout the city and get very little contact with one another during the week.
But when they would come together at these social functions in Birmingham, they would speak Welsh.
Oh, of course they'd speak Welsh. Mind, there is an element who don't. But the functions themselves are conducted through the medium of the Welsh language.
Mm-hmm. And another problem, I presume, too, is where you have what you might call mixed marriages, Welsh speakers married to non-Welsh speakers. Yes. There's always a problem there, too.
In that case, it is always the Welsh side that suffers. It always is subservient to the English side.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the churches there. Well, now, I believe the church in general in Wales has played a big part in the, in keeping the language alive.
Yes. We are very proud of the fact that the nonconformist churches have played this part. But to be absolutely fair, that is due to an accident of history rather than any great patriotism on their behalf. In the early stages, by today, the patriotic element does enter things.
But in what way did they keep the language going? It just wasn't services, conducting services in Wales.
Only,
the
cultural side, the churches looked after the cultural side of things. They taught little cantatas, plays, little competitive meetings. It was...
This through the Sunday schools?
Not through the Sunday school itself, but through the medium of penny readings. Does that mean anything to you?
Indeed.
Yes,
yes. Penny readings in Ireland too.
That's it. And dedicated people taught the children.
The penny readings in Ireland, of course, were mostly in English.
Were they not? Oh, no, they're in Wales. They're always in Welsh.
Wales is fortunate that in the matter of fostering the language, the majority of churches are favourably disposed, and so are many of the institutions of higher education. The teachers' training colleges in particular seem to be doing a good job in turning out teachers capable of working in a bilingual situation. In Bangor at the Celtic Congress, we stayed in fact in a teachers' training college, the Normal College, of which Dr. J.A. Davis is principal. It's a good example of bilingualism in practice.
We are training teachers for primary and secondary, and this year we are also taking postgraduate teachers in to do their training.
Well, that's rather unusual in itself, isn't it?
It's not as unusual as all that. Most of our teachers, about two-thirds of our teachers, are trained for primary schools, but we are also a specialist college in science, and we are taking postgraduate students for other disciplines as well.
And this is, in fact, a place where bilingualism is actually put into practice. All the teachers you have on the staff, I believe, are bilingual.
Oh, yes, this is a completely bilingual college. The staff are bilingual, and by bilingual I mean completely fluent in both languages. And the students, when they come to this college, can elect to do their whole course either through the medium of English or through the medium of Welsh. Every lecture in science, in history, in geography, in education, is given in both languages. The student decides which language to take.
And in fact, though, he takes only one of the languages.
He only takes one of the languages. He decides when he comes in whether to take his course in English or in Welsh.
Must he stick to the same language, then?
He must stick to the same language.
Yes. And what areas do the teachers come from?
The students here, 75% of the students come from Wales. Of the 75%, 50% come from rural North Wales. The other 25% come from other parts of Wales. The other 50% come from nearly all counties of England, a few from Ireland, and a few from Scotland, and a few from overseas. But 75% of the students come from Wales.
And they are all Welsh-speaking?
No, not all Welsh-speaking. Of the 75% of students coming from Wales, 50% are Welsh-speaking.
Mm-hmm. And how does it work out in practice then? The lectures, they have the same course whichever language they select?
It's exactly the same course whichever language they select. There is nearly no problem. There are ample books available in both languages. It does make, of course, heavy demands on staffing,
mm-hmm.
demands which you would not have in a monolingual college. There are also other problems insofar that for teaching practice, they have to go to schools, where the teaching in the school is either in the medium of English or the medium of Welsh. And because of that difficulty, we have to send English-speaking students a long distance away from the college and place them in English-speaking areas, either in South Wales or in England itself.
You mentioned there that textbooks are available in both languages.
Yes, yes.
Now, in Ireland, I know the position is not satisfactory as regards textbooks in Irish. How have you brought it about that you have textbooks available in Welsh?
There's been a remarkable improvement in the quality of textbooks in Welsh over the past 5 or 6 years. It's partly because of the support given to it by the Welsh Joint Education Committee, which is a national committee which coordinates the activities of all the local education authorities in Wales, and subsidies indirectly given to publishers. There's been a great improvement, not just in the number of Welsh books, but in the quality of Welsh books. For example, for the infant school, for young children, we now tend to buy plates from Scandinavia, from Holland, from France, where the production is cheaper. So for the first time, we were able to produce really attractive books, as attractive as the sophisticated books which you get in English.
Would you not say that that would be equally possible in Ireland?
Of course it's possible in Ireland, yes. Mm. Except, of course, that the, with great respect, that the reading population of Welsh is much greater.
That's so,
than,
yes.
You know, but yeah. It is possible.
It's a matter of interest that most of the books published in Wales are in the Welsh language. Compared with around 60 titles in English, there were 177 titles in Welsh issued last year. Strangely enough, poetry seems to be most widely read, but even the most popular book will sell much less than 2,000 copies. We asked Mr. Howell D. Roberts, principal of the College of Education in Cardiff and a regular book reviewer, if he were happy about the position of book publishing in Welsh.
Well, I think this is a very healthy position. There are more books published in Welsh today than ever, and they are covering all fields. If you only looked at the nationalist effort issue of the Cymro and the Vanner, those are two of our weekly papers, you'd see a tremendous list of books recently published. It's going to take me months to read through these, and I try to read most things that come out in Welsh. But what strikes me these days is that they cover novels, certainly, poetry, biographies, essays, studies, some quite heavy stuff in studies, but they seem to cater for the more literary type, perhaps. Mm. And I think myself that I would like to see lighter material coming in Welsh for young people and for the ordinary people of Wales who may not have had more than school education, certainly not have had college education. Now, we want them to read, and that is where I think there is a gap that I would like someone to fill. I'm sorry, I can't do it myself, but that certainly is a necessity, and other people have commented on this recently too.
But the books that are published, do you think they're all read, in fact?
Oh, yes, I think they're read. Yes, the sales prove that. The publisher's not going to publish just for the sake of publishing. They must be paid. I don't think any publisher makes a great deal of money in Welsh publishing, but they become even. They strike out even, I'm sure. So the books are read and are bought. Libraries and schools help a great deal here, of course.
What about grants? Does the publisher get a grant?
Oh, yes, the publisher gets a grant from the Arts Council. Not every book ranks for a grant, but the Arts Council has been very helpful here in helping publishers and helping authors. County councils or book councils help too. The Welsh Book Council finds material and helps to see through the publisher.
And what is the position then as regards textbooks in Welsh?
Well, I'm not satisfied here at all. I mentioned this in the Celtic Congress this morning. There are so many Welsh medium or bilingual schools now that there's a terrific need for more books on subjects like history and geography and biology and general subjects, because it's not fair for children to be taught through the medium of Welsh in the classroom and then have to go home in the evenings and use English textbooks. That is something that we shall have to remedy and do it very quickly.
In a town like Bangor, one notices that nearly all the bookshops have a section devoted to books in Welsh, and one bookshop has very little in English apart from theology. There are also plenty of Welsh language magazines on sale, well produced and on all kinds of subjects. Howell Roberts tells us about these.
Well, the magazines are mainly monthly or quarterly. The most important monthly one is Barn, B-A-R-N, Barn, Opinion. And this is not just a literary magazine. It deals with social questions and political questions as well, but it produces poetry, essays and studies. Then the Genhinen is a quarterly one, which is strictly literary. Planet produces work in English. In Welsh, we have Y Ddrud Goch, which is the Welsh Nationalist weekly paper, always carrying reviews of books. Tafod y Ddraig, The Dragon's Tongue, is a small publication by the Welsh Language Society. Now, they don't carry reviews. This is really a protest magazine and a political magazine giving views to the Welsh Language Society. But the weekly papers, Y Faner and Y Cymro, those two have regular features of book reviews.
You write some book reviews yourself, I think, don't you?
Yes, I often review. I've just finished one review now to the Vanner on the Anglesey Atlas, a very beautiful atlas produced in Welsh and in English by the Rural Community Council, Anglesey Rural Community Council, and edited by Professor Melville Richards. That's the last one I reviewed. I sometimes review for the Welsh Nation, the Welsh Nationalist weekly paper, who also reviews literary books in Welsh and in English. We must
and the, what you might call the national papers are willing to devote an amount of space to Welsh, are they not?
Oh yes, the Western Mail, which is a daily paper in Cardiff, they have an occasional Welsh column, usually again book reviews. The former head of BBC programmes, Mr. Talvin Davies, often writes to the Western Mail in Welsh. We mustn't forget the contribution here of the denominational papers, Goliad, Llan, and the Tist in particular. Now, those are papers produced by the Calvinistic Methodist or the Presbyterian, Goliad, Llan, the Church in Wales, the Tist, the Independents, the Congregationalist. They come out regularly and always carry reviews of books.
Would they specialise, though, in religious subject matter? No.
No, naturally, those would deal with things connected with their own churches and chapels and committees and conferences, but they are, to a large extent, national papers carrying national news and opinion.
Readers of Welsh, like those of Irish, have no daily newspaper, but they have six weeklies, the leading one of which, Y Cymro, attracts a fair amount of advertising, but mostly, I notice, in English. On commercial television, too, the same applies, even where the programmes are directed towards Welsh-speaking areas. Television, Delwyn Phillips says, is no help to Welsh.
The box is the means the death of the language, because there are so few Welsh programmes. We are getting swamped even in the not only in places like Birmingham but throughout Wales, the remotest parts of Wales. The TV box is the most important member of the family.
But there are quite a number of programmes in Welsh, are there not?
Yes, and some of them are of a very good standard, but the proportion is so small as opposed to the English programmes.
Can you watch television programmes in Welsh in Birmingham?
We get at midday, we get about four programmes during the week through BBC One. That's the only thing. We can't get Welsh television direct. Mm.
Are Welsh people in Wales now reasonably satisfied with the sort of service they get from radio and television?
No, far from it. The Welsh Language Society is conducting constant campaigns, and not only the young people are protesting, but the middle-aged people are refusing to pay their TV licences and are prepared to go to prison in defence of the language.
This is a phenomenon that we've noticed lately, the militancy Is this approved of by a large number of people or disapproved of?
It's curious, even members of the Welsh establishment, the very respectable Welsh people, are coming out on the side of the young people. It's a great encouragement to all true Welsh patriots to see how the old, respectable, conformist figures are now coming out on the side of the militants.
And I think it's true to say that externally far more Welsh is to be seen now than was for a long time.
Yes. We feel it's important that the language should not be kept hidden in the churches and in the homes, but it should be seen in public, on public notices, and notice boards, and above shops. But there we are.
Which it is here in Bangor, for example, a large extent. But I would imagine that there could be much more of it.
But I think here one must say that Ireland's shown leadership in that respect, and we, to a certain extent, are copying the Irish.
But do not think that these external signs may not be a true indication of the position.
In what respect?
Well, now, in Ireland, as you say, you'll see plenty of bilingual signs of signs and notices in Irish, but there may not be very much Irish spoken in that particular place.
Yes.
I think now in Bangor, where we are at the moment, there's much more Welsh spoken and fewer signs.
Yes, true enough.
Apart from the shops, possibly.
Yes. Of course, this movement is only now starting. I think in the future we'll see many more signs. Well, that will truly reflect the situation in years to come, I wonder.
Mm. Now, the post office nearest to us here, I've noticed, which you would hardly see in many Irish post offices, notices of things for sale and things wanted, all this sort of thing. And they are all in English.
Yes, yes.
Now, I would imagine myself that in an area where so much Welsh is spoken, most of the people who put up these notices would, in fact, speak Welsh. Yes. Why do they not put the notices up in Welsh?
Well, that's the measure of our subservience, I'm afraid. We still regard English as the dominant language, and and if you want to sell something, you want the largest possible public, and nearly all Welsh people can read English, and well, there we are. Most of us are prepared to sell our souls for sixpence.
The young people are, of course, the idealists, and, as Delwyn Phillips said, the protesters in Wales today. But some even of the older generation, recalling probably the militancy of people like Saunders Lewis over more than 30 years, would see protest as necessary and inevitable. Mrs. Alwyn Jones.
I feel we've had to protest all along the road, whatever you want. You've got to make a fight for it. And these things are not granted easily until they realize there is a good protest. And then they seem to give in. That seems to be the only approach you can make. I think so.
Why is it that authority never seems to concede in time or to do the right thing in the first instance, that it has to wait for the protest? Or does it ever happen that they do the right thing?
Well, in the case of education, the case of the radio, we had to make a fight for Welsh on the radio, and now there's a fight for Welsh on the television channel. And in time, they realise that they're up against something and they give in, I suppose. So we hope that very soon we're going to win this television channel fight as well.
Oh, my newid yn y gwynt, a chi'n hir fedur y wawr. Mae holl eintyd Cymru o forganwg i Gaergybi i gyd yn deffro nawr. Mae ysbryd newydd yn y tir, a Chymru'n deffro i'w ffasg. Wrth gofio am Bertheron ac arwyr dewr i Werddon hanner canrif yn ôl i'r Pasg.
David Ewan's song there looks forward to the day when all Welsh people speak the Welsh language. And as that time comes, the young groups of singers who are now heard all over Wales will have played a big part in bringing it about. We mentioned the protest songs at the beginning of the programme, and we spoke on the subject to T. Gwynne Jones, who is well known as a choral adjudicator at Oireachtas na Gaeilge. We asked him if we were correct in our impression that the great land of choirs and church music was now turning to pop music.
Yes, indeed, and a very certain, very definite kind of pop song, a protest song. Because this is probably the result of the other Welsh language societies' demand and the feeling among young people today that if we lose our language, we lose our identity as a nation. And most of the songs that we hear today are protest songs, and people accept them. As a headmaster of a school, of a Welsh school in Colwyn Bay, I feel sometimes that we don't teach them pop songs as protest songs, but they come very often within the natural curriculum.
But you do, in fact, teach them these songs in the schools.
Oh, yes, some of these songs, the ones for the infants, is one about going up, the little train going up Snowdon, which the children accept quite easily. They don't see very often any political significance in these in the beginning, but they're catchy tunes. Davide Owen sings them beautifully, Hogia Llandegau, and a lot of these people, they're lovely songs, they're catchy, and people like them. You know, I'd like to see sometimes some real nice Welsh jingles on television. There's no reason why they can't have them in Welsh. I've never heard one, and it'll be a breakthrough,
and
I'm sure.
They do sing the English jingles, I gather.
Oh, yes, you see, my own daughters, they know very well the English jingles to everything, even chocolate and beer and everything. They're quite popular.
Well, in an area where so much Welsh is spoken, why do the commercial interests not use more Welsh? Wouldn't you think it would be in their own interest to use Welsh on television in commercial ads?
Well, I think they need a breakthrough. It hasn't started yet, but I think once that starts, it'll develop considerably and accelerate considerably. At the moment, I don't think anybody's ever thought of it.
And why haven't they thought of it?
Well, I can't understand it.
Aren't they supposed to be thinking of their own financial interests all the time?
You do get it sometimes in advertising in papers, advertising cigarettes in papers, and I've seen advertisements in Welsh, and the same thing could be done, and these pop singers could probably make a lot of money out of this, and of course it'll give some status to the Welsh language as well, which is the purpose of the whole thing.
Yes. I've heard it said that television is the greatest single enemy of the Welsh language. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would, because the main protest in Wales today is that there's not enough Welsh on television, and we have to be subjected to hours and hours of programmes, from American programmes, and very, very programmes of very, very poor quality.
A British government report, compiled by what has become known as the Hughes-Parry Committee, recommended in 1965 that Welsh should have official status in courts, local government, elections and so on, and that Welsh and English should be of equal validity, a principle which was incorporated into the Welsh Language Act of 1967. But the committee did not come out in favour of complete bilingualism, and so the Welsh Language Society and others continue their efforts to obtain improved status for Welsh. How will things work out in the future? Is bilingualism the best practical policy? Can the two languages flourish side by side, or must one of them, English that is, in the end dominate the other? As with the people of Ireland and the Irish language, the people of Wales will eventually provide the answers to those questions. Here are some of the answers we got in North Wales. Professor Jack L. Williams.
Yes, very desirable to have a third language. But bilingualism is the aim to me, at any rate, at the moment. One's own language, a national language, and an international language, which in our case happens to be English. That can be a sort of pattern for the nation as a whole. And then for a small minority, there should be a third language as well, which people will find useful. But I don't envisage a time when knowing a third language will be common in Wales, but I do hope that within the next 50 years we can reach a stage once again when the majority will be bilingual. And of course it's very desirable that this knowledge be used, and we do seem to be making a little breakthrough there. The Welsh language is coming out more into the open in business, in administration, and so on, and so I am fairly optimistic about the future of the Welsh language at this moment.
A bilingual community, Owen Hughes.
No, quite impossible. Only for a short period of time. Because in the end, one language is going to kill the other. And there is really no need for the mass of people to know more than one language.
You don't think it's feasible for most of the people to know the two languages and to speak either of them according to the need of the moment?
Only for a short time, as a temporary measure.
Must the weaker language finally die out? T. Gwynne Jones.
I don't like to think of any language dying out. Obviously, what we want in Wales is something to have equal status for two languages. Well, you go to some of these European countries, Belgium and Holland, it's nothing to find little children of 5 years of age speaking two, three or four languages. It comes as a pattern of life. They can jump from one to the other. We've been very, very insular in this country. But I certainly think that once you lose the language, you lose your identity. I notice in Ireland, your policy in the schools in Ireland is something I admire very much indeed. I've had the wonderful opportunity of judging at the Oireachtas on three occasions and admire the what you do and going to schools, you know, between meetings, that language that the Irish is taught there. At least they have a good grounding. It's what happens afterwards that's worrying me. When they finish in school and the influx of English and possibly the apathy of some of the parents prevent it from going any further. It would be marvellous if people could jump from one language to the other.
Have you any great demand in Wales from English-speaking parents, for example, to have education through Welsh or Welsh taught in the schools in English-speaking areas?
Well, let me say, I am the headmaster of the Welsh school in Colwyn Bay. Now, Colwyn Bay is an English town. It's an English town of about 23,000 people. I have 250 children in that school. Now, out of those 250 children, 30% of them have got Welsh parents on both sides. Another 60% have got one parent Welsh and one parent English, and the remaining 10% have both parents English. So you see there is a demand from English-speaking people to have their children taught Welsh. And they don't have to come to the Welsh school, but they do, and that is the pattern throughout Wales. There are scores of Welsh schools in Wales. In some of the South Wales schools, Barry, for instance, I think about 90% of those children are from English-speaking homes. And yet, the parents now feel that they must have this language. And they come and speak it. They can sing in it. There's no reason at all why anybody can't sing in Welsh. You find them coming to these Eisteddfodau in Llangollen and singing in all languages. But for heaven's sake, they can come and sing in Welsh.
And finally, Dr. J.A. Davis, bilingualism as a practical policy.
I think it is a practical proposition. Well, indeed, I live in an entirely bilingual situation. It's all a question of motivation.
A question of national spirit, in a way.
A question of national spirit. I'd say it's very natural in this part of Wales. It is much more difficult in an anglicised town in South Wales.
But you, some people I've spoken to, in fact, are pessimistic about the future of Welsh. Are you pessimistic yourself?
I'm not pessimistic, and yet I suppose, you know, that with increasing mobility and increasing mechanisation and the creation of world units, it may become more difficult, but at the moment there is much more awareness in Wales of Welsh as a historical language than there ever has been, and there are far more people speaking Welsh today.
Well, that's one of the things now compared with Ireland. Obviously, yes, there are far more people speak Welsh than speak Irish, and I've been through towns today where Welsh seems to be the normal language, which you wouldn't get in most of the big towns of Ireland. But, you know, some people say that because of this very thing that Welsh people are not aware of the dangers to Welsh.
I think they're aware of the dangers, but I think there is a feeling today, you know, that where there is a great emphasis on uniformity, that it is well worth preserving those things which are unique in any heritage. And for that reason, I am very optimistic about the future of Welsh.
Flaen y gad Diosgwn glog y taeog A'r hago mawn yn dalog I fyny parch ein gwlad Wrth gofio am ben y berth A throwerin o dan y dŵr I allwn laen am brwydro I achub cam y Cymro Ymladdwn fel un gŵr O rwy'n gweld y dyn Bydd Cymru yn Gymru ryl A pawb o fewn ein gwlad Yn siarad Cymraeg Nawr mae'r iaith yn codi ffen
o gorsgol wylydd hir. A ma' nhw'n un a'i siarad, heb ofni brif o teimlad, rhaid i'w gweld yn glir. Wrth gofio'r hau a fi mewn gell, ac yn ewon ni heb ddim rhaid. Ar hae a fi yn carchar, sy'n herig ymryd leiar, i'n codi ar ein thra.